Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll be reading from the 14th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 22 through 33. It's found on page 894 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of you know that I am the oldest of seven children of four brothers and two sisters. And one of the things that you do when you are the oldest sibling is you do whatever you can to cultivate this sense that you're not afraid of anything. But of course that wasn't true. There's lots of things that I was afraid of. One of the things that I was afraid of when I was a kid was tornadoes. Growing up in southwest Missouri, I was often regaled with the stories about how destructive and unpredictable tornadoes could be. March and April are tornado season in Missouri, part where I grew up, and tornado watches and warnings were regular occurrences when I was young. A tornado warning meant a tornado watch meant that conditions were ripe for a tornado, so be on the lookout. Make sure that you're on the lookout for a possible tornado. And a tornado warning meant that a funnel cloud had actually been spotted either on the ground or in the sky, and so it was a warning to take cover. Tornadoes, of course, those of you who know a little bit about them know that they are sometimes quite unpredictable. Sometimes they'll touch down in one area and they'll create the destruction in that area, and then they'll go back up and maybe touch down in another area and create destruction. Sometimes they do that even in the same city. One community will be leveled and the other community, maybe even across the street, will still be intact, but they can be quite unpredictable. We were fortunate enough in Springfield, Missouri, not to have had too many tornadoes when I was growing up, probably because Springfield sat down in kind of a little valley in the midst of the Ozark Mountains, and so many times tornadoes just jumped right over us. But every once in a while, even we got a tornado. One evening when I was about 14 or 15, we received the standard tornado watch. Conditions were right, so be on the lookout for a possible tornado. Then moments later came a warning. Someone had actually spotted a funnel cloud on the outskirts of the city, moving in the direction of the city. And the warning was given to take cover. Unlike some of the older homes, our house didn't have a basement. All we had was a little crawl space that probably would not have accommodated the whole family. In fact, it was probably a dangerous place to be. It was probably more dangerous to be there in the crawl space than anywhere else. But I remember as the sirens began wailing, I began to become more and more afraid. And my mother gathered us all in the living room and told us to get in the center of the floor. But I thought we needed to be in the crawl space. So as we continued to listen to the reports from the television set that the tornado was still on the outskirts of the city, I became more and more afraid. And suddenly I blurted out, "Mom, I think we need to be in the crawl space. We need to go now." My mom looked at me calmly and said, "Randy, don't panic." Now, my mother's words, of course, were quite devastating to a 15-year-old boy who made pretensions to being the man of the house. I had to admit that my mother was right, that I was afraid, and I had panicked. And it was something that has always stayed with me, even to this day, that sometimes I am afraid, and sometimes even I panic. That tornado never did stay on the ground long enough to make it to the city. It eventually went back up before it caused any damage. But we, all of us, are reminded that during times of crises that sometimes we are afraid. Fear is an emotion that we all experience from time to time. It is a natural human response to the things that pose danger to us. And we are all afraid at some period in our lives. The problem occurs when we allow our hearts and minds to become so dominated by our fears and anxieties that we allow our fears and our anxieties to engulf us. A great theologian once said that fear is the anticipation of a supposedly certain defeat. We anticipate that we are going to be defeated by something, and then we begin to fear that possible defeat. Fear encompasses the doubts that we have. The doubts that we have about ourselves and the doubts that we have that God is with us and that God can deliver us. We often doubt our own abilities and we often doubt that God is with us. And so we begin to fear. Many of us fear all kinds of things. Many of us might fear relationships because we doubt that those relationships will work. We've been involved in relationships before, and those relationships have gone bad, and so we fear being in relationships. Many of us might fear a particular job because we doubt that we have the abilities to do that job, and so we're fearful of the prospect of seeing ourselves in a particular job. Fear is a very real part of our lives. And fear can cause paralysis. Fear can even cause destruction. Listening to the reports the couple of weeks ago, the young man who murdered those 77 people in Norway, it's important to understand that he was motivated in part by fear. Fear of other people. Fear of immigrants and fear of people of a different religious persuasion. And fear can sometimes dominate our lives and come to destroy us. Maybe that's the reason why the command that is given over and over again in the Bible is the command, "Do not be afraid." It is the same command that Jesus gives his disciples in our text this morning. Jesus has sent his disciples alone to cross the Sea of Galilee while he stayed ashore praying and getting a few moments to be alone by himself. But the text tells us that nighttime comes and his disciples are still on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, it's not just nighttime, but the text tells us that it is the third watch of the night. It is the time when it is the most dark outside, and his disciples are still trying to make it across the Sea of Galilee. The text tells us that they're having problems because there's a wind against them, and the wind begins to kick up the waves, and the little boat that they're on is battered, being tossed to and fro. And we can imagine that the disciples are exhausted and afraid, no doubt wishing that Jesus was there with them. And suddenly, right in the midst of the storm, the text tells us that Jesus comes walking on the water. But they are afraid. They're terrified because they believe that Jesus is a ghost. And it's right in the midst of their terror, right in the midst of their fear, that Jesus comes to them and tells them to take heart. It's him. Do not be afraid, he tells them. But the fact is, we are afraid. In fact, we live in a society that is permeated by fear. I went to pick up a newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, on Fridays, and there on the front page in big bold letters was the headline, A Climate of Fear. The story, of course, was talking about the fears of Wall Street, fearing a double dip recession, but it could have been the fears that all of us express. We are all sometimes captured by our fears. Indeed, we live in a society where producing fear has become kind of a cottage industry. How much can we make people afraid? Many people know that when we are afraid, it's easy to control people once they're afraid. And so fear is often produced in our society by the media and by others who are have influence in our society. I was watching on the internet not long ago, a couple of days ago, where a local television station in Chicago came under fire for a story that they ran on the evening news. They were interviewing a four-year-old boy who had been the witness to a drive-by shooting. And the reporter asked the little boy what he'd seen, and the little boy described what he had seen. And then the reporter asked him if he was afraid. And the little boy said, "No, I'm not afraid of anything." And the reporter asked him why he wasn't afraid, and the little boy said, "Because when I grow up, I'm going to have me a gun." And the report ended right there. But the actual story, it had been edited, the actual story was that the little boy actually said was, "When I get older, I'm going to have me a gun because I'm going to be the policeman." But the news organization didn't want to report that. What they wanted to do was to create fear, fear of the inner city, fear of one another, to keep us afraid of one another. And so fear has become a cottage industry in our society. How can we keep people afraid? How can we make people afraid of one another? How can we keep division? And one of the ways that we keep division in our society is by promoting fear. But Jesus tells us in our text this morning, do not be afraid. Do not become dominated by your fears. Do not allow your fears to dominate you and control you, to dominate your hearts and your minds. Do not be afraid. Our text this morning from Matthew's gospel wants us to understand a few things. This story wants to etch a number of things in our heads, and it wants us to leave understanding those things. First of all, it wants us to understand, if we don't understand it already, who Jesus is. The text wants us to understand that Jesus is not just someone going around wowing people with fantastic miracles, but the text wants us to understand that Jesus is indeed Emmanuel, that Jesus is God with us. Jesus is not just walking on the water in this particular text. That's what's important to understand. But Jesus is walking on the sea. The ancient Israelites were afraid of the sea. For them, the sea represented all the powers of chaos and the forces and powers of death. It represented the forces and powers that only God could constrain. Only God can bring order out of chaos. Only God can overcome the forces and the powers of death. So when Jesus comes walking on the water, what the text wants us to understand is that Jesus is indeed the one who can bring order out of chaos. Jesus is indeed the one who can overcome the forces and powers of death. Jesus is the one who can save us from all that makes us afraid, because Jesus is God with us. He is the one who can catch us when we are sinking under the weight of our fears. But this story is not only about Jesus, but it's also about us. It's about you and me. It's about God's people. It's about the church. One of the earliest symbols of the church was a boat, a little boat riding the waves of history. And this story reminds us that to be God's people in the world, to be the church in the world, means to be vulnerable. It means to be emotionally vulnerable and physically vulnerable and spiritually vulnerable. It's impossible to be God's people in the world without, in some ways, being vulnerable. One of the things that we naturally seek to do is to secure ourselves against all the things that make us vulnerable and insecure. And yet, we are reminded that to be the church in the world is to be a people who are vulnerable. Years ago, when I was living in Atlanta, a lady who I was working with kept inviting me to her church. It was a large, prominent Baptist church with a nationally known pastor. And so I finally broke down and accepted the invitation to visit her church. And I was surprised to learn that the church was located in one of the more seedier parts of Atlanta. It was a place with all kinds of crazy things going on, a place where prostitutes frequented. It was a place of where drugs were readily available, a very seedy part of the city. And I thought to myself, this is a wonderful opportunity to do ministry in this particular area. You couldn't find a better place to do ministry other than in a place where people actually need to feel and to experience the love of God. But when I was there visiting the church, I learned, much to my dismay, that the church was actually leaving. It was going to a place out in the suburbs of Atlanta, a place where, according to the leaders of the church was not as vulnerable to the crime and the other dire circumstances that surrounded the church. It was announced that the location was just too dangerous to do ministry in. And I thought to myself, of course it's dangerous. The world is a dangerous place. When did the church become concerned about danger? The church has always operated in dangerous situations. The early church went forth in a world that was dangerous. The early church went forth in a world where people hated them and people feared what they were up to, and they were often fed to wild beasts and to gladiators and all kinds of things. They lived in a world that was dangerous. And we too are called to be active in a world that is dangerous. We are called to be vulnerable people, a vulnerable community in a world that is often dangerous. But when did we become so concerned with safety that we're scared to be the church? We're scared to be God's people in the midst of the world. We are called to those places where people need to hear desperately the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to make a difference in the turbulent world where the waves are beating against us, where we know that it is dangerous, and yet we know that we are called to be in the midst of the storms of life. We are called to be God's people, to bear witness to who God is in dangerous situations. So to be God's people, to be the church in the world, is to be vulnerable. Jesus says, I send you out as sheep among wolves. He wants us to understand that. We don't go out into the world reinforced with the kinds of things that we think that can secure us. We go forward in the world reinforced with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, reinforced with His Spirit. When Jesus sends out the disciples in the Great Commission, He doesn't send them out with all kinds of reinforcements, but He sends them out with the simple things that they will need to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that they will be vulnerable. And we too are called to be vulnerable. We are called to bear witness to God in the midst of the dangerous world. But not only are we called as God's people to be vulnerable, but our very presence in the world means that there will be spirits, winds, and forces that are whipped up against us simply because we are the people of God. I'm not saying this to have us to hunker down in a kind of mentality, a mentality of persecution. You know, sometimes we Christians talk about being persecuted and we hunker down into a mentality of persecution. But I'm reminding us that to be God's people means that there are forces and powers out there in the world that cannot stand the presence of God's people. There are forces and powers in the world that do whatever they can to stir up the waves in order to create chaos and fear and anxiety. In the midst of all this kind of chaos and fear and anxiety, we are called to remember that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus is present with us, and Jesus has called us not to be afraid. When I was in seminary, I spent time in Atlanta living in a housing project, and I remember in that housing project, in the apartment that I stayed in, there was a number of young men who traded in drugs. And one of the things they would do is they would turn the lights out in the apartment complex at night. I didn't know that, so every night I would go and I would wonder who turned the light out, and I would screw it back in. And the next night the light would be out again, and I would screw it back in. And the next night it would be out again. But the fact is that there are people in the world that love the darkness. There are people in the world that like things the way that they are. There are people in the world that doesn't want, they don't want to be seen. They don't want their activities to be seen out in the daylight. There are people in the world that are threatened by the presence of the church. They're threatened by the presence of a community that bears witness to who God is. They're threatened by the presence of a community that loves one another. They're threatened by the presence of a community that is about justice and love and peace. They're threatened by the presence of a community that looks after one another. They don't want that kind of community in their midst. And when they see that kind of community, they want to do everything that they can to whip up the waves. They want to toss us to and fro. But we are reminded that we are God's people. We are reminded that God is present with us, that the Lord Jesus Christ is present with us. And we are reminded that we are to keep our focus on the one who brings us life, the one who gives us life. We are to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and not succumb to our fears. Many of us perhaps can remember where we were during 9/11. I can remember where I was. I was working for the Atlanta Gas Company in Atlanta. And I was out in the suburbs of Atlanta, and one of my coworkers radioed me and said, they called me Reb at the time, they knew I was in seminary, and he said, "Reb, you know what's wrong? A plane just crashed into the World Trade Center." And I thought it was a little twin-engine plane, but they made it apparent that it was a large jetliner. And as I was along in the field, I was radioed again, "Reb, another plane has crashed into the other tower of the World Trade Center." And I began to become more and more worried and more afraid. Just what in the world is going on? Then I got another report. "Rev, a plane has crashed into the Pentagon, another plane." And now I really became concerned because I wasn't able to get to any news, and I was concerned just what exactly is going on. And as I was going, moving in that community, there was a lady who came home, and I was cutting through her yard, and I could tell she was concerned, wanting to know who I was, a strange man coming through her yard. No doubt she had heard the reports on television, and the fear was probably controlling her heart and mind, and now she sees a strange man coming through her yard, and she's really afraid. I can tell she's agitated and afraid, wanting to know who I am. And so as I'm coming back down the other side of the street, she's outside talking to the mailman. And as I get on down the street a little bit, the mailman comes and he catches up with me and he says, "You know, you scared that lady." And I said, "Yeah, I know." And he says, "With all the things going on right now, people are afraid." I said, "Yeah, I realize they're afraid. I'm a little afraid too." And I found out me and the mailman shared a lot in common. We were both about the same age. We were both African-American men We had both spent time in the Army as second lieutenants, general, junior officers in the Army, and we were both Christians. And we began to talk about the day as it was unfolding and talking about the security. And he reminded me that real security is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Real security, he said, is not going to be about to trying to find a military response. We were asking ourselves, how could this happen? How could the most powerful nation in the world have this happen to us? What are we going to do about it? And he reminded me that real security comes only in the Lord Jesus Christ and when we are being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Later that evening, I went to the church for the after-school program, and we weren't having the after-school program. Nibs reminded me, Nibs, the pastor, told me that we were going to have a service, and I figured that only a few usual suspects would be there. But that service was attended by over 600 people. People from all over the community came to that service. The first time I ever seen that church packed. The people were packed in there that Tuesday evening because they were afraid. They'd never experienced anything like this. They'd never experienced their country under attack the way it was under attack. And they were afraid. And I remember sitting in that sanctuary and started thinking about this passage and about the little ship of God's people being buffeted on the waves and about the disciples being afraid and remembering Jesus' words, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. This story reminds us that the antidote to our fears is not to spend our lives trying to secure ourselves against all of our insecurities. We couldn't do that anyway. There's always something to fear. This story reminds us that the antidote to our fears is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to keep our focus upon Him. For it is only He and He alone who can save us from our fears. There are all kinds of things in our society which engender fear, all kinds of things which cause our hearts and our minds be anxious. But we are reminded that Jesus is the one who can calm the storm. We're reminded that Jesus is the one who can bring order out of chaos. We're reminded that Jesus is the one who can overcome the forces and the powers of death. We're reminded that Jesus is the one who is God with us. Jesus is the one who can save us. Salvation comes only by placing our lives in the hands of the one who came to give us life in abundance. We are called to put our faith in Jesus and to keep our focus upon Jesus. Don't be afraid, Jesus says. Don't be afraid is the word of the Bible. Don't be afraid, little church. Don't be afraid of the winds. Don't be afraid of the spirits of our world, the forces and powers of death that try to stir up the waves. Don't be afraid, but continue to be the people that God has called all of us to be. Continue to be that community that bears witness in the midst of a world that's frightened and scared, in the midst of a darkened world. Continue to be the witness of love and justice and peace. That is who God has called us to be in the midst of this turbulent world. We go forth proclaiming that good news. We go forth as a peculiar community. We go forth as a community not shaped by our fears. Think about that. In a world where there are all kinds of people who are conditioned by fear and who act out of their fears of other people, their fears of other religions, their fears of what might happen to them in the future, we go forth as a different kind of community. We go forth as a community whose heart has not been conditioned by fear, but we go forth as a community whose heart is conditioned by love and joy and trust in God. That's our witness. Our witness is not just proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, but our witness is showing that Jesus is Lord by the way that we live our lives and the way that we demonstrate our trust in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ by not being afraid. Don't be afraid. Love God. Love one another. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust that He will save us from all that causes us to be afraid, because he is our salvation, the one who truly can save us. Amen. Eternal God, you have reminded us again and again that our lives belong to you. You have told us to hold fast to that good news in good times and in difficult times. We ask, Lord, that you help us not to be afraid, not to be afraid to be your people, not to be afraid to live as you have called us to live, not to be afraid of the winds and the waves that crash in upon us, but to go forward in the power of your Spirit to proclaim the good news that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is indeed God with us. Help us to hold fast to him, to focus on him, even in the midst of the things that would make us afraid, so that we might have the abundant life that you have promised all of us that we will have. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.